today, the topic is overcoming temptations. When you make an advance in the kingdom of God, there is one person who does not like that. And the enemy of our souls is going to come against us, and he is going to try to defeat us. You need to know that you have been given everything for victory in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is God. But that does not mean that he did not have to overcome temptations. In fact, it's been said that Jesus experienced temptation to the degree that none of us can understand. Because Jesus never gave in to temptation. Jesus never gave in. And so he experienced and felt the ultimate degree of how far temptation can go and what the test of that can be on a person. The test of that temptation on a person's character. And he never gave in. So he knew how strong temptation can be because he endured it to the end. And he helps us by his grace because Hebrews 4:14 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You might be going through a time of need right now. You might be experiencing a temptation right now. You might be experiencing a temptation to do something that you know is wrong, to give in to a certain area. Maybe it's just a fleshy area, but maybe it's an area of need that you see, I have this need. And so I'm tempted to do something to garner this need, perhaps even for my family. But we need to remember some of even the testimony of Alfred and Jackie just shared with us. And they have experienced some very real needs. And how somehow God has come through for them in his timing. The word overcome is the Greek word nikeo. It's where we get the Nike term. You know those Michael Jordan commercials and so forth, for those of us in the previous generation. The Nike commercials. Well, nikeo means to win a victory. It means to conquer. So this word overcome is from this verb nikeo. How do we conquer? How do we overcome the temptations in our life? How do we win the most critical battle in our lives? Not the battle against anyone else. It's not the battle to win a soccer game or the battle to find a job or whatever. It's the battle of our own soul. It's a battle against the temptations that we experience in our own lives, in ourselves. In some respects, you see it as the battle against your own self. Those desires that we so easily give into. How do we overcome temptation? Well, first of all, we've got to be very adept at using the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Notice, we are in a series of messages on life in the Spirit. Notice that word sword is used in conjunction with the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. And one of the things that we've been emphasizing as we've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the life in the Spirit, is that as the release of the Holy Spirit comes in our life, our tongues are loosed. Our tongues are loosed in many different ways. Our tongues are loosed in praise. Our tongues are loosed in prayer. Our tongues are loosed simply to encourage others. Our tongues may be loosed in a prayer language.
But don't put it all on a prayer language. God just wants your tongue to be loose. And if your tongue can simply be loose to be able to use the sword of the Spirit, to wield the sword of the Spirit, amen, to overcome, that is a great victory indeed.
Amen.
Jesus, after he was baptized, water baptized, he went into the desert. He was in the desert for 40 days. The desert. A hot desert. He had not eaten for 40 days. And he was tired. He was weak. He was exhausted. He was at the lowest point someone can be at physically. I know for me, when I'm more inclined to give into temptation, it's when you're physically exhausted. You're spent. And you're tired. Jesus is at that point. And I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus was hungry. He had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And the tempter came to him, Satan himself came to him and said, "Tell these stones to become bread." Could Jesus make these stones become bread? Yes, he could. Could he have laid out the most sumptuous buffet for him to eat, all-you-can-eat buffet? Yes, he could. Could he have had anything at his disposal to eat right at that point in time? Yes, he could. He is Jesus. He is God. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful.
Amen.
He could have done all that. He could have given himself anything to eat. The need for bread is a basic food source. We all need bread. Bread is something that, I don't know of anyone that doesn't like to eat bread. Some kind of bread. Alright, for you young children here that happen to still be up here. Alright? Part of what pizza is made of is bread. Dough. We all love dough. Bread. I personally like taking a roll, heating it up a little bit, and getting some nice butter, and putting that butter on that bread, maybe some homemade bread, you know, that nice warm, fresh out of the oven bread, put some butter on it so it's melting. Alright, and then, ooh. I just love bread. And it's amazing all the kinds of things you can do with bread. Alright, putting cheese on it. And tomato sauce and pepperonis and sausages and so forth and so on. The things that you can do with bread. Tortillas. Alright? My wife grew up eating tortillas. Alright? And use tortillas for everything. By the way, Andrea, congratulations, Costa Rica. Major upset. Alright? Okay. Honduras, 3:00 today, right? Alright. Sylvie was trying very hard to wear blue today, but just didn't happen. Alright, I know Honduras is going up against France today. I know a lot of you have some French roots, but we're going for Honduras. But we all have this basic need for food, for bread. And when we're needy for food, temptations arise. We're tempted to do wrong because of our physical needs. And Maslow's hierarchy of needs, as an educator, I know that students have different needs. One of the most important, one of the basic needs that's low on the pyramid of Maslow's hierarchy of needs is this It's just our physical needs. That's why in so many schools right now, schools are giving breakfast. I heard of a school the other day that now they're just giving breakfast to every student. Every student. You don't need to even be in a certain financial category. Every student is getting breakfast. Because these teachers know that when they're teaching these students, they're not going to learn if they're thinking about their stomach. They're not going to learn if their stomach is growling and then they're not filled. When we have our achievement tests at school, one of the main things we emphasize to the parents is make sure your child gets a good breakfast that morning. One of our basic needs is our need for food. And without that need being met, we're going to have a hard time thinking about anything that's higher than just the basic issue of food. And when we go without food, we can be tempted to do wrong. We can be tempted to give into doing wrong things. And so Satan is tempting Jesus here to use his power. He's tempting Jesus to use his power selfishly. We all have power. We have physical strength. Some of us guys could walk down the street in the evening and assault a woman and grab her purse and get away with it. We have the physical ability to do that. We're tempted to do something wrong because of this physical need. But the Holy Spirit's power says that we're not going to use that power selfishly. Amen. In fact, in 2 Timothy 1:7, God says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." We've been given a spirit of power. We've been given a power. But we need to use that power in love so we don't trample others. We need to use that power in a self-disciplined way so that we are thinking of others, so that it makes that power effective. Let's see what Jesus' response in verse 4 is. Jesus answered, "It is written." I wonder where it's written. It's written in the Word of God.
Right.
Jesus used the Word of God. Jesus wielded the sword of the Spirit. He said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Amen.
Jesus said, at another point, he said, My food is to do the will of Him who sent me. My food is to do what God has called me to do. My food is to fulfill my purpose. My food is to understand why am I put on this earth and to do exactly that. That's what feeds you and me.
Amen.
And not only fed Jesus, but it feeds you and me. When you find out what your purpose is, when you find out why you are here on this earth, and you do that, that will feed you.
Amen.
That will fill you up. That will fulfill you. That will satisfy you. That will give you what you need. The sword of the Spirit, the Word, God's words are more important than bread. God's Word in our life is more important than bread. We're called to live on the Word. We don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Word brings life. In fact, the Word is bread.
Yes.
It's the bread of life. It's the bread of life. We need to feed on God's Word. More than physical food, we are dependent upon spiritual food. We are dependent upon the Word of God. And so the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, they work together. It's the sword of the Spirit. And so, when the Holy Spirit is released in our lives, our tongues are released to wield the sword of the Spirit, to speak the Word of God. Look at verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, the devil said, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Satan was tempting Jesus with being a superhero. The comic books. Doing all kinds of things. The temptation here is when things are not going our way. When things are looking in such a way, the circumstances of our life, that we're tempted to not trust God. We're tempted to not trust the love of the Father in our life. This morning, the parable of the prodigal son, which perhaps more aptly would be titled the parable of the loving father,
Amen.
Was shared with us. When the circumstances of our life, the trials, just the things that are going on in our life, we're tempted to doubt whether God loves us because of these things. It's a temptation to test God and to seek others' attention in an ungodly manner. It's a temptation to expect our foolish actions to be saved by God simply because we trust Him. To expect that I can live a certain way. I can go to a cliff. I can go on a skyscraper. And I can say, oh God, prove yourself to me. I'm just going to step off the cliff and expect you to catch me. The Lord may be saying you need to learn something. The Lord may be saying we need to go through a little bit of the reaping of our actions. And not just to say, Lord, I expect you to save me from my foolish actions. And so what was Jesus' response? It is written. Verse 7. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. See, the ultimate purpose, I know we have these basic needs, but the ultimate purpose of our life is to give God glory. The ultimate purpose of our life is to really for our life to be given away, to take up our cross and to follow Him. The ultimate purpose for our life, even though there are so many benefits in the Word of God, and there are so many blessings in the Word of God that are ours in Christ Jesus, the ultimate purpose is that our life will be given away so that others may know Him and love Him. And so the Lord wants to take us beyond these lower levels of need to those higher levels that He has for us. And so He says, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, He uses the word. He uses the sword of the Spirit of the Spirits. And even Jesus doesn't demand God's miraculous protection. We're not to be ones that demand God to somehow save us from our foolish actions. We're not to be ones to be making any sorts of demands whatsoever upon God, that He'll miraculously protect us from what perhaps we need to learn and to go through. But we are called to trust and obey.
Amen.
Whether He catches us or not,
say that again.
We're called to trust and obey.
Amen.
Even if He slays us.
Amen.
As Job said, even if He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Look at verse 8. Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And so Satan here, he's tempting Jesus with power. There's power all through this.
Satan wants the power, number one. Satan wants Jesus to bow down to him.
And Satan is tempting Jesus with power. All these nations, all these kingdoms, I will give you. All this power, the temptation of power, the temptation to be worshipped, the temptation to idolatry, idols in our life.
God alone deserves our worship. He alone is to be praised.
And even Jesus, who had the power, he again is omnipotent. Jesus knew that he had to go through the cross. Even Jesus knew he had to go through the cross. Even Jesus knew that he had to go through suffering. That he couldn't just wave this wand and have all this power. Even Jesus knew that he could not short-circuit the process. That there were no shortcuts. And that's something that we often forget as well. We try to short-circuit the process. There's a gospel out there. You hear it a lot on TV. You see it a lot on TV. It's a health and wealth gospel. It's a gospel that says, I'm going to be blessed, and I'm going to be blessed, and I can expect all these blessings upon my life. And I'm a blessed man. All right, I'm blessed with a beautiful wife. I'm blessed with beautiful
Amen.
Children.
Amen.
I'm blessed with all of you.
Amen.
To be able to work with you and walk
Amen.
With you. I'm a blessed man. I believe in God's blessings.
Amen.
But Jesus knew that you had to go through the cross. You had to go through the suffering of the cross. You had to go through taking up your cross daily. No one can short-circuit the process. There's a deceptive message out there today. It sounds good again. But where other things are worshipped other than God. We need to remember that we worship the one true God. We don't worship the things that God can give us. There is one true God. We don't exchange God for the blessings that God wants to give us.
Amen.
Do you want God no matter what? Do you want Jesus Christ no matter what? Or do you want Jesus just because of the good things that He can give you? Just because of the blessings that He can give you? The Lord wants you to want Him and follow Him no matter what. To take up your cross daily and follow Him. Look at verse 10. Again, it is written. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan!" Exclamation point. For it is written, "Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." Again, he used the sword of the Spirit. It is written. And he says, worship God alone and serve Him alone. Don't worship any man. There's a proverb that a man is tested by the praise he receives. We all have that temptation to seek the praise of man as opposed to the praise of God. And there's a difference. There's a difference. As you're making the decisions of your life, as you're walking out just all the circumstances and everything that you have to do in your life, are you seeking to do it to please God? To please God with your eyes on Him. That I'm living my life to please Him.
Amen.
Not to garner favoritism from this person over here or that person over there, but to please God. Sometimes that'll put you in a little bit of a hot water. But it is a secure place in Him. It's a place of integrity. It's a place of Christ's righteousness. It's a place that the Lord wants you to be. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. We need to be studying and understanding God's Word to overcome temptation. And it's not about simply quoting any verse. It's knowing the scriptural principle that answers that temptation.
Amen.
Jesus, of course, knew the Word. Jesus knew the Word. He knew the scriptural principle that addressed that specific temptation, and He used that scripture to answer it.
And you can know the Word too. You can know the Word of God that also addresses the specific temptation that you are going through. If you're like Herod and you don't know what's going on in your life and all kinds of things and I'm just feel like I'm in a maze and so forth, I remember being in that place. Study the Word. Search this Word. Search it until you find your answers. Search it. Study it. Memorize it. Hide it in your heart. I can remember a point in my life where I was like, I gotta have this. I was just looking, searching until I found. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become a child of God. And I was holding on to that Word like with my fingertips. But it gave me something to hold on to so I wouldn't die. So I wouldn't give up. So I wouldn't go astray. All I needed was a finger hold. I remember getting that Word. I remember searching the Word of God. And I found that Scripture and I grabbed onto it.
Amen.
For dear life.
Amen.
1 John 2:14 says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. As a young man, I remember having suicidal thoughts and just thought after thought after thought, and I was in this maze because I would confess it as sin, so then my thought would be on it more and so forth. I was just in a cycle. And I remember being at lunch one day. I was working a lawnmower job, and I was at lunch one day, and the Holy Spirit gave me what's called a rhema word. A rhema word is a word that is given from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit specifically for you for a particular battle to overcome.
Amen.
And God gave me a rhema word. And He gave me 1 Peter 5, 8-11. And this passage has become part of who I am as much as my arm is part of who I am. And it's stayed with me forever since. I memorized it on the spot. I remember afterwards going back to my post and just and using the sword of the Spirit, saying it. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast.
Wow.
To God be the power forever and ever.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
That was the sword of the Spirit. It overcame that temptation. Whenever my mind starts, my mind starts going a certain direction, it's out of control, I don't know what to do. Boom. I use the sword of the Spirit, I confess that passage, and it blows it out of the water. It says be self-controlled and alert. We do need to be alert. It says resist the devil. Jesus in that passage again says resist. Oh, it said away from me, Satan! Exclamation point. Resist the devil. Resist. Resist. Fight.
Amen.
Stand firm in the faith. When I got to that point about your brothers throughout the world undergoing the same kinds of sufferings, to me it was like a rallying cry. We're in this together.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters throughout the world are in this together, fighting the good fight of faith. Use the sword of the Spirit. We need to be reading the Word. We need to be memorizing the Word. We need to be hiding the Word of God in our hearts. So much so that the Word lives in us and becomes part of us. So that the Word of God is living in us. And we need more than just the rote memorization of the Word, although that is helpful. If you can think of nothing else when you're being attacked, simply just say things like, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I claim the blood of Christ. Jesus is Lord. I claim the blood of Christ. If that's all you can do, that's great. But there's also the understanding of God's Word. The truth of God's Word that helps us to overcome. That
There are specific scriptures in God's Word that help you to go after certain specific temptations. And that's what this passage in Matthew 4 illustrates that Jesus did. And that's why we need to be studying God's Word. That's why we need to be personally studying God's Word. That's why we need to be in the flock group where we're opening up God's Word and learning more about God's Word. That's why we need to be going to the mug breakfast and understanding God's Word. That's why we need to be in places like Living Grace Institute. Because it's not just about being saved and, okay, I'm okay now for eternity. God wants you to overcome, to understand His Word more and more and more. So that you can use that sword of the Spirit. So that you can be like a three musketeer. Alright? And you are able to use that sword of the Spirit with skill and tenacity. And you're able to use it with adeptness to overcome.
Amen.
We've all heard of the parable of the man who built his house upon the sand. How many of you seen that house that's fallen off the cliff? This beautiful mansion of a house. By some lake. It was built on sand. And this house is just falling into the lake. God calls us to build our house upon the rock. And what did Jesus say is the person who builds his house upon the rock? It's the person who puts God's Word into practice. And so when the storms of life come, and storms do come, in our families, when we put God's Word into practice, when that storm passes, our family will be secure. Our home will be secure. Our house will be secure. Secondly, how we overcome temptations is we put on the full armor of God. Of course, the sword of the Spirit is one of the pieces of the full armor of God. Another particularly important piece of armor is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. I can remember me as a young man when I just feeling like, when am I ever going to get over the hump? I was living a life of defeat. Just basically continually defeated. Continually struggling. Continually not at peace. Continually worried. I remember a particular battle that I was having was that of grading compositions. As an English teacher, one of the basic things you need to do... job descriptions is you have to grade compositions, and you have to grade a lot of compositions because you're talking about English and they're writing. And I would really struggle with this, grading these compositions. And you know, what grade do I give to this composition? And then the enemy attacked and started accusing me of grading compositions purposefully wrongly, like giving a B+ instead of an A-. But it really was supposed to be an A-. Anyone here who is a teacher here understands what I'm going through. Alright, everyone I know deals with it with those college students. I mean, they really go after those grades and they give them a lot of grief and stuff. Alright? And so, this became an issue with me. Even my dad at one point said, but you might have to give up teaching. And that's what I've been called to. That's what I love to do. He even suggested, it was so bad that he even suggested that to me, you might have to give up teaching. And so I was dealing with this. And even the night before, the next day, if I knew students were going to be handing in their compositions, I would be up the night before worried about it. I'd be very tense about this. And what I learned through that process is I learned to give up and trust God. I learned to take, and I do it to this day, 25 years later. Whenever I have a set of compositions to grade, I say, Lord, I commit the grading of these compositions into your hands. I ask you to guide them. And those were not just words. What those words symbolized is symbolized walking in faith. That I was going to trust Him. As I went through, made my corrections, made my comments, as I got to the end, that He would guide me as to what the grade should be. Because I would always go back and check and check and check and change. Now when I'm tempted to go back and say, that composition is in the Lord's hands, and that composition is in eternity. Alright, if I grade it wrong, I'm going to find out when I get to heaven.
Amen.
That's how serious it is to me. Alright? I mean, I would think that way. But I just let it go. And so what had been an incredible weakness in my life, where I couldn't even grade a composition. And even when I, for a while, guess what? My mom had to grade my compositions for me. I was living at home. And when I gave that up, all right, it was such a serious thing. When I gave that up, guess what? I even had a hard time putting a number in the grade book. And when I gave that up, when it was a hard time putting a number in the grade book, I couldn't even put an absence or a tardy in the grade book. I couldn't do it without going back and checking, and checking, and checking, and checking. But slowly the Lord taught me how to make decisions in faith, to live by faith, to walk by faith. And today I'm a very confident decision maker. I make decisions. Because now, every day, I come into the Lord's hands. And I ask Him to guide me. And I'm cognizant and I'm conscious of Him being with me, helping me to make every decision that I have to make. God turned a weakness into a strength to be able to make decisions. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are declared righteous by faith. And so the full armor of God is turned to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." That's the power of the Holy Spirit. "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, and that's easy to forget. It's easy for me to forget. I need to remind myself of this principle, particularly sometimes when, you know, I'm dealing with the students at school. And so he has to remind me that that's a big reason why I'm there, to discipline these students. And not to get frustrated with the students when they're not doing what I want them to do, but to use it as an opportunity to help disciple them in the Lord. Look at verse 13. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand."
Amen.
Stand firm then. Four times in this passage, it says stand. It says stand. It says stand. It says stand. Stand. Sometimes it's all we can do to stand. In overcoming temptations, you need to know something. God is omniscient. That means God is all-knowing. Satan is not omniscient. Satan is not all-knowing. Satan does not know what is going on in your heart and mind unless you show him by your words or by your actions. And so when you are being attacked by the enemy, sometimes the most important thing to do is to simply stand. Don't show him that his attack is impacting you. By your words or by your actions. Living in fear. Don't show him. He's not a merciful foe. Stand with your eyes on Christ. Verse 14. "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." The belt of truth. Character wins, not the arm of flesh. Truth wins. There's a saying, God sees the truth but waits. Sometimes you might be at work and you see people getting away with things and you're seeking to walk in the truth. Just stay in that truth. Don't be tempted to compromise that truth. Stay in the truth. God sees the truth but waits. Knowing the truth and walking in the truth. At school, I tell the students, without the truth, we have nothing. We have no basis for relationship. Without the truth, children, young people, without the truth with your parents, you have no basis for relationship with your parents. You're like that song, "Strangers in the Night." You're just walking by each other. You're strangers. You have no basis for relationship. If you don't have the truth, you don't have anything. What is the truth about our sin? It's confession. When we confess our sin, when we say the truth about our sin, when we confess, there's forgiveness. Relationship is reestablished in our life. And for the grace of God to be in operation, we must have the truth. 14b, second half. With the breastplate of righteousness in place, we need to put on Christ's righteousness. that integrity of heart, understand our position in Christ. Not our own righteousness, but Christ's righteousness. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace that brings peace in people's lives. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I love the statement Claude made last week about this guy who says, I don't feel married. I'm not feeling it. I don't feel married. Well, you are married. You may not feel loved. You may not feel saved. You may not feel you're a child of God. You may not feel victorious. You may not feel you're overcoming. But you are saved. Amen. You are loved. Amen. You are a child of God. Amen. You are victorious. You are overcoming through Christ. Amen. You have a position in Christ of overcoming. You are saved, redeemed, victorious in Christ.
Amen.
It's not feeling. It's not sight. It is faith. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation, we need to understand mentally our position in Christ. Again, this is the reason for studying the Word of God. We need to understand who we are in Christ. And so much of the battle of overcoming temptations is in the mind. That's where the battle is won or lost. It's not just, I'm feeling it with my heart. No, it's up here. This is where it's won or lost. The sword of the Spirit. Again, our tongues being loosed to use the Word as an offensive weapon. That's what the release of the Holy Spirit does in our lives. To use the sword of the Spirit effectively in any situation to overcome. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This is the release of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's for you. This week we went to the MBA and Anna took her driver's test. And you get there and sometimes you have to wait and it's just a paperwork thing. But we had to wait to take the driver's test. I guess I couldn't take it for her. I asked the guy, can I come? And he smiled. So I had to let my little girl, my little daughter, my Anna Christina, go in that car. And yes, I started praying in English. I was praying ahead of time. I was praying, Lord, help Anna keep her focus. Help her to know that you're right there with her. Lord, give her a tester that is grace-filled. But, I ran out of those kinds of things, and then I just started praying in the Spirit. All right? And then I was calling Sylvia and giving her the play-by-play. Sylvia said, don't call me, you're making me more nervous. She got through the car check, The hazard lights are no longer on. She stopped in front of the stop sign. All right, okay. She went in the course, and now she's going out of the course, and she's going on the open road. So I give her the play-by-play. She said, "Don't do that." She passed by. Okay. But I was praying in the Spirit. Because, my mind was a little bit, I was trying to keep my focus. But I was praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables you to pray on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers, whatever situation that you may need to pray about. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. I was groaning. All right? And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. How do we overcome temptations?
We overcome temptations through using the sword of the Spirit, employing the full armor of God. We overcome temptations through relational, prayerful accountability. We need accountability. It's just a fact of life. We need accountability. There's a friend of mine that I just know he died for me. I know he loves me so much that he died for me. He has permission to ask me about anything in my life, any area of my life. I tell him some of the deepest secrets of my life. You know, the things that I struggle with. He helps to hold me accountable. If we have hidden sin in our life, Satan gets the upper hand. And we're not overcoming. There's something about sin, when it's hidden, that works against us.
That's right.
The Bible says one of the characteristics of sin is deceitfulness. It talks about the deceitfulness of sin. We're naturally tempted to hide our sin. I know that when kids sin and do something wrong, they're just naturally tempted to lie about it. Alright? There's just a deceitfulness to sin. But confess sin. When you confess your sin, that temptation loses its power over you. And that's what we're talking about. The power to overcome temptations. We claim the blood of Christ. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so to confess sin to a mature brother or sister in the Lord, we're healed. Strongholds are broken. I was going to go through the whole passage, James 5, 13 through 20. I don't have time to do that. But I'll say one verse, James 5, 16. It says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. When we have confessed sin, when we confess our sin to a brother that really cares for us, a sister that really loves us, that will pray for us, there's something about it that heals us on the inside. You feel healed on the inside. That temptation loses its power in our life. And we're healed, we're forgiven. And as forgiven ones, we're righteous. And we can pray for one another. You are righteous. You are that righteous one who can pray effectively and confidently for your brothers and sisters in the Lord. How do we overcome temptations? The Bible says sin is crouching at the door. Sin is right there to take us down at any moment. We need to limit the opportunities to sin. We need to stay away from situations that are tempting. If you've had trouble with alcohol, of course you need to stay away from a bar. Alright, we need to limit those opportunities. It's about not letting certain influences in our home, influences that we know we struggle with, banning them from our home. It's how we overcome. It's asking a caring brother or sister in the Lord to ask us tough questions every so often. Are you putting yourself in compromised positions? It's helping one another to overcome. In a setting like a flock group, we're able to help one another, to share with one another, to pray for one another. If we are left to ourselves, our natural tendency, the tendency of sin and our sinful natures is to drift. It's to drift away from God, like a ship without an anchor. And so we need to have that anchor. If we are regularly in a church small group, sharing, praying for one another, that in itself will help you to overcome. Simply the consistency of regular fellowship in church and a small group, such as a flock group, will help you to overcome. In the same way, regular service for the Lord will help you to overcome.
Amen.
When you have to, you serving the Lord is part of your plan for overcoming. Because when you serve the Lord, you've got to serve the Lord. You can't just fake it. You can't fake it. You can't fake serving the Lord. When you're getting ready to minister to the kids at Kids Church, kids can tell when you fake it. You got to be ready. You got to be prepared. If you're a mother or your father, or father, all right? I mean, people can see when things are going on. And so simply by regularly having something to do to serve the Lord, having to prepare for that, whether it's on the worship team or whatever it may be, that helps you to overcome.
I'd like Mr. Baramez for prayer. Yes, I'd like the worship team to come out. We're going to release you really soon. We're going to allow for a prayer at the altar for those that want that release of the Holy Spirit. I want prayer. I'm going to end with how I began. Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How do we overcome? We need to be strong as graces in Christ Jesus. How do we overcome? We overcome by when we fail, not continuing to spiral downward, but to recognize that the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. How do we overcome? When we do fail, when we do sin, we confess it quickly. We repent and confess it quickly, and we're forgiven. And then we can move on. But not allowing the enemy to condemn us and continue to spiral downward. And then we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So let's just say we're going to open up the altar for those that want this release of the Holy Spirit. You want your tongue loose. You want to be able to wield the sword of the Spirit. You want to be able to overcome. This isn't just something, okay, nice to add to my life. This is the power of God to help us to overcome and to live the life that God calls to live. So we're going to sing this song. Have a great day. And we're opening up the altar for those who want to come up.